Why don't all Christians triumph? Any answers going through your mind right now? Why don't all Christians triumph? I know I've gone through some devastating experiences. You've gone through some devastating experiences. You take two people who are maybe twins, they look alike, they act alike, they are alike in every respect, and they're Christians too, but a catastrophe strikes and a circumstance enters into their life. God weaves a thread that doesn't go with their color design in life. And why is it that one is going to stand in the faith and just really be great, and another one is just going to collapse and crumble and fall away? What makes the difference? Why do some Christians triumph and some don't? And I know you know that some do and some don't. I know there have been times when I have and when I haven't. What made the difference? And I'll tell you exactly what made the difference. You look very closely. You see these wings? You see those wings on my back? I got wings. I got wings. And I know you've got wings too. If you're a Christian, you've got wings. The point is, and it's the answer to the question why some Christians triumph and some don't, because they use their wings. Some got them and don't know they got them. And if you don't use them, you lose them. Now turn with me in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 40, would you? Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to be looking at verse 31. Isaiah 40, 31. We're made for flying, our message for today. Our text is Isaiah 40, verse 31. Isaiah 40, 31, and it reads like this. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. Does your Bible have eagles in there, or does it have something like a sparrow or a dove? Is there a difference between a wing of a sparrow and the wings of an eagle? You better believe it. And there's a lot of difference. So the word says, if you hope in the Lord, you will renew your strength. You will soar on wings like eagles. Boy, they're powerful. That's a powerful bird. And you'll walk and not grow weary. You'll run and not grow weary. You will walk and you will not faint. If you hope in the Lord. And so you take the two sets, the set of identical twins. One makes it and one doesn't make it. One decides to have hope in God, high hope. You got to have high hope. And you got to start using your wings. Now here I want you to repeat after me. If we had nothing in life that made flying necessary, we might perhaps lose all capacity to fly. Do you hear that? If we didn't have these circumstances that we trip over and things that cause us problems, we would have nothing in life that would make us necessary to use our wings. So yesterday when I got this bad scratch on my Red LeBaron, after getting over it, I said, okay, Lord, you have woven that thread right down the side of my convertible. It's so nice living across the street from your agent. And so, if I had nothing in life that made flying necessary, I might perhaps at last lose all capacity to fly. That's the sermon in a nutshell. I could let you out now, but you want to stay longer. That is it. Say it in a sentence, Neil. If we had nothing in life that made flying necessary, we might just lose all capacity to fly. And if you don't use it, you lose it. And that's with your talents that you've been given and the things that you have acquired. And the scripture from Isaiah 30:16 reads like this. That's chapter 30, verse 16. Our high diving board is Isaiah 40, 31, but we have to dive off of this scripture too. It's Isaiah chapter 30, verse 16. Actually, it's verse 15. And while you're turning, do you remember the scripture that we read, those that hope in the Lord? Well, King James has those who wait on the Lord, and that's very important. And while there's a difference between hoping and waiting, I like the word waiting because those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength, and they will fly like... Hear the telephone ring? Telephone ring. The man at the theater said, hello. I was there last night and I lost this beautiful pen. Have you seen the pen? And so he said, well, I don't know. Describe the pen to me. The pen was described to the manager. And the manager said, okay, if you will wait, I will go and see if I can find it. You sit on the right-hand side, two-thirds down. I will go there. And so the man went down there, and lo and behold, he found the pen. He found the pen. It did take some time, but he found the pen. And he went back to the phone, and he said, hello, madam, I've got good news. I found... Hello, madam? Hello, hello, hello? Phone. The lady did not W-A-I-T. Those who wait on the Lord will receive. This lady was so impatient, she didn't wait. And had she waited, she would have heard the good news, the pen had been found. Now you found Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says to the community church, to you who are listening to me, wherever you are right now. He says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. Oh, but look what it says here. But you would have none of it. You would have none of it. It says, repent, rest, that's your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it. You said no. No, I don't want to rest. No, I do not want to wait. You said, we're going to flee on horses. Therefore, you will flee. You said, we'll ride on swift horses. Therefore, your pursuers will be swift. Now, here's the contrast. The Word says that when we get these unfortunate circumstances in our life, you are to rest and wait in the Lord. Remember our scripture in Isaiah 40. Those who rest in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll rise up like wings of an angel, wings of an angel, right on. Wings of the eagle. But why do some Christians triumph and some don't triumph? The answer is right here in verse 16. No, I'm not going to wait. I've waited enough. I've waited for red lights. I've waited for my wife. I've waited for my husband. I've waited in lines at the store. I'm not going to wait. But those who wait will receive. Those who run to a horse are not going to get help. Now, here's what the scripture says. You said, no, we will not. We're going to flee on horses. And God says, okay, you can ride on, you can go on swift horses if you want to. But your pursuers will be swift as well. And who pursues us today, people? Who is the enemy? Who is trying to trip us up? Who wants your life? He is a deceiver. Satan is a liar. He's a murderer from the very beginning. So when a difficulty strikes me, as it has, and you too, you have an opportunity to do two things. You can hop on your horse and ride, or you can wait patiently and fly. And it is up to you which you will choose. I was thinking, Lord, what are some horses I've been riding lately? Once I went to a church, and after I preached, the people said, you ride a horse? I said, oh, sure, I ride a horse. When I was little, but I didn't tell them that. You know, I didn't know they were trying to get me to ride their horse. They said, are you a horseback rider? I said, sure, I'm a horseback rider. And so after we ate, they said, come on out, Pastor, and went out, and there were these horses all saddled and ready to go horseback riding. Well, I bluffed it and made it, but they soon found out I was not a horseman. But you know, I've been a horseman in things that have happened in my life. Instead of waiting and using my wings, which I've got tucked so neatly away, I decided to jump on a horse. And if you jump on a horse in circumstances, and I speak of horses like getting busy, busyness can be a horse instead of waiting for the Lord. I speak of the horse called fantasy. I speak of the horse called distraction. I speak of the horse called worldly friends. I speak of the horse of denial. So when something comes in, why do some Christians triumph and some don't? Some choose horseback riding, and they choose to ride on these horses. But the scripture says that if you get on your horse and flee, your pursuer is going to be swift and right on your horse's tail. So it's up to us which we're going to do. These horses generally carry us, as they did the Israelites, out of a trouble, but land us in another trouble. You hear that? You get on a horse to get away from a trouble, and all of a sudden, you are in another trouble. Well, the scripture says it this way. You are trying to run away from a lion, and lo and behold, in the path, you meet a bear. That's scripture. It says you're trying to get away from trouble, and you get to your own home, and you put your hand on the window ledge, scripture says, and, ooh, the serpent bites you. You get away from one thing only to get into something worse. So let me just encourage you people not to horseback ride through your difficulties, but to use your wings. Like those who were hang gliding, Nancy and I saw a month or so ago, they had their wings. They were just going around and amid all the things that were happening below and all of the difficulties through which you kids are going through, you young people and you adults, God says, I want you to use your wings. I want you to use your wings. In some of our circumstances, we feel frustrated. In some of our circumstances, we might even fret at our imprisonment. We might feel like we're really a captive. But the wings of the soul carry it to on a spiritual plane. A spiritual plane. And the life that's hid in Christ makes a life that is independent of circumstances. You have broken your leg. You are not denying your leg is broken. But your faith is carrying you higher. And you're flying. And it has made you independent of that circumstance. So that you may be positioned there, but you can indeed fly. And so while we're living right now at an altitude of 340 feet in King City, our spiritual attitude can be quite higher. In the clouds, independent of circumstances. And the things above are the things the soul on wings care about, not the things on earth. And it views life differently, like the tapestry the children saw this morning. You are viewing things different because you're looking at it from a God perspective instead of our own perspective. And the high altitude of heavenly places in Jesus helps us from this standpoint to view things differently. And I guess if I could look out upon the congregation, I would label you a caterpillar Christian on the way there, down there, or an eagle Christian flying above. And you have to answer yourself, what am I? Am I a caterpillar? Pastor called me a caterpillar? A caterpillar? Or am I an eagle? It is up to us. The crawling soul, out of necessity, is going to view things differently than the flying soul. I mean, just take it. The caterpillar looks up. Everything is down there. And so the view, obviously, is going to be different. So God says, take out your wings, people, and fly so that you can see things differently, even as I see things differently. Mount up on wings. And it makes it different. It even makes the difference in degrees of Christians. Did I say there are degrees in Christianity? Yes. Different degrees. And so when we were going through the fog, and just like Greg Campbell was driving through fog yesterday going to work in Salinas, it cut him down. He had to slow his vehicle down because he couldn't go as fast as he wanted to go. So walking through the fog makes us slow ourselves down, our paces down. But if we can just go up a little bit higher, we can get over the fog. Because the fog bank does not go all the way up forever. It just goes up for a way. So the caterpillars see the fog. The eagles see the sun. Jesus, the sun, as well as earthly sun. And further, birds do this. They overcome the law of gravity. The Christian that's flying overcomes the law of gravity just like the birds do, by a higher law of flight. The higher law of flight. And the soul on wings overcomes the lower law of sin and misery and bondage by the higher law of spiritual flight. Why don't all Christians triumph? Because they don't use their wings. Some of the wings have got ice on of unbelief. And they can't take off. They can't fly. Some are defective. Some are stiff. Some have injuries for one reason or another. But the Christian will fly who decides to use the wings. Now listen to this. It is not the largest wing in the world that can ever lift a bird 1 inch off the ground unless the bird uses it. You know? If the bird doesn't use it, it can say, "Hey, bird kingdom, look at my wings. Look how beautiful my feathers are. They're just great." And so the sparrow flies all the way around and the dove flies around, the eagle, for example. The largest wings in the world will not lift a bird 1 inch off the ground unless they use them. And if we don't use our spiritual wings, we're not going to be flying very high. We're going to be bumping into everything. They've got to be used. And it's no use crying, "Oh, if I had the wings of a dove, I would fly away." You've got the wings of an eagle. You've got your pair. You've got your pair. Use them. And so we must do it definitely and practically about every detail I've underscored in our life. We've got to use our wings practically in every detail of our life. When we meet disappointments, when we meet persecutions, when we meet malicious enemies, when we meet all of these things that are negative, we must counter with our wings and change the days of our life by soaring and flying toward long. And instead of striving up against strife, instead of striving up against bitterness, instead of striving up against the things that come our way, trying to knock down or walk over an offending brother or a sister, we can escape by mounting up on our wings. Now, what do you people have that I can't see? You got wings. I can't see tomorrow you using them. But I want you to know that our souls have been made for the higher atmosphere. We are not of this world. Our souls have been made for this high atmosphere. Hallelujah. And like the mother bird kicks out her little daughter or son and says, "You got them, use them." May use them. And all of a sudden, in that horrible, trying circumstance, that bird says, "Hey, I got it, and I'm going to use it." And they do. They do. But they're forced to use the wing. In particular this week, I see some uncomfortable things might be happening. Use your wing. Religious experiences call us to use our wing. Traditional ways cause us to use our wing. Attitudes that we feel are safe that might change would require to use our wings. I just thank God for the wings that I have. But you know, people, I also thank God for the circumstances that make me use my wings. Because if I hadn't had the circumstances, hey, I wouldn't even use the wings at all. I've got them, but I'm not going to use them. Unused wings gradually wither, they die, they shrink, and they lose their flying power. And if we had nothing in life that would make flying necessary, we might, perhaps, lose all capacity to fly with Jesus. Friendly skies, you better believe it. God is our friend. And the scripture says that Enoch was a friend of God, and he flew up and out and never came back. I want you to come back, but I want you to use your wings. I want you to use your wings. And there is no wall that is high. There is no door that can be barred that can keep a bird locked up as long as there is no ceiling. And we may feel we're in a cage, but people, there's no ceiling. We can fly right out if we use our wings. We cut loose. And the creature that can sing is the creature that flies. I haven't really checked that out, but in my mind, I don't think there's any singing creature that doesn't fly. Check during the week. Singing creatures fly. We sing and we praise the Lord. We're flying. everything that comes to me, good or bad, should make me sing to the Lord. So for the past experiences, I'm saying, God, I want you to help me fly. But now look at this in conclusion. We're talking about tomorrow now. On Monday, there may be something very difficult happening at your job. Use your wing. On Tuesday, there may be a war in the Middle East. And it may be the beginning of World War III. Tuesday, use your wing. On Wednesday, the bottom may completely fall out at your house. Use your wing. On Thursday, there may be a marital problem. Use your wing. There may be Friday, a great temptation that comes into your life. Use your wing. On Saturday, there may be just an unfavorable crisis that happens to you. Use your wing. Now, you said it a moment ago. I want you to say it again. If we had nothing in life that made flying necessary, we might perhaps lose all capacity to fly. Right on. Let's bow and pray. God, thank you for my wings. Thank you for my wings. And as you have told us, Father, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up like with the wings of an eagle. They will fly. And you've also reminded us, Father, that in repentance and rest is our salvation. In quietness and trust, waiting is our strength. Lord, I trust that we will not be like those to whom Isaiah was writing, who said, no. We're going to flee, not on the wings, but we're going to flee on the horses. And the word was, therefore, you will flee. You say, you'll ride off on swift horses, but the pursuer will be swift. Father, give us help this week when we need it. Maybe even this afternoon, not to jump on horses and ride away, but to use our wings and fly to you. In Jesus' name, amen. May we stand, please. With your heads bowed, I just want you to take a moment or two to wait upon the Lord. And maybe as you go down the streets of your mind, you will see where you have gone to the horses instead of the wings. So easy. It's a good time right now in the presence of God just to ask Him to forgive you and to dismount. Dismount. And say, God, I'm going to try to use my wings and fly over my circumstances. Make me a better person. And I'll see life differently and not be so enmeshed in the circumstances. But especially if you're here today and you'd like to receive Jesus, that's the call, to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. But it's further, it's also for we who are Christians to come closer to Him. And the altar is open if you'd like to come and kneel. Maybe you'd like to come and be anointed with oil, or to have the laying on of hands, or to speak about a deliverance, or whatever is necessary for your soul and for your inner man. We are here to minister as the body of Christ to you. And we'll stay as long as you're here. Because of the hurting people, there is the healing power of God. So we wait upon you to come.